Blog Talk Radio. Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity, wisdom and understanding. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you on all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, Ty Emeka, makes sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power, experience, and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Wednesday, March 7th, 2012, IFA Wednesday, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Ty Emeka, Hoodoo Central, and Ty Potions in this legendary, historic, beautiful, enchanted, and most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this 30-year spiritualist Hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. So please do continue to join and support us here at High Noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, on Blog Talk Radio, always live from New Orleans, Louisiana, and in archive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at your leisure and convenience. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347. 215-8967, 347-215-8967. This will be our usual two-hour or more broadcast. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press number one, and myself or the owl, Baba, Ola, OJ Lola, Ifa Sakin, will be more than happy to attend to your questions, comments, or concerns. Again, 347-215-8967, and do remember to press the number one when you are prepared with your question, comment, or request, and then we will humbly respond to you moving forward. My website, where I can be reached utilizing various means virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in over 30 years of well-documented revelation and manifestation, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And do continue to support and recognize the many other qualified ministers, spiritual psychics, and practitioners who can be located within the various virtual temple groups, beginning in the center of the first page of my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And there you will find my House of the Divine Prince King Group, We are true friends, divine intervention, divine joy and prosperity, divine love and relationships, divine manifestation, divine revelations, and guiding voices of divination. Continue to support Queen Ifama and all the powerful voices that can be found in the Queen's Chamber of my website, respectfully. Also within the King's Chamber of my website, you will still find Brother Majadi Baruti and Uja Temple Ministries worshiping the goddess. You will also find my friend of several decades, Big Steve, and many, many more. And also continue to shop in my store, Netherhead Tour, the second page of my website, for your coffee, your teas from Africa, your books, your CDs, your DVDs, your African musical instruments, drums, and many, many other products, black soap, shea butter, all types of African, Pan-African-based products, entertainment, education, edification, which can be found on the second page of my website. Many of you are supportive, and we are truly, truly grateful. I say it all the time. I would not be here. I would not be able to continue to do what I do over such a long, successful length of time if it were not for the support of those who gain something from what I offer. If you're not gaining anything from what I offer, your opinion is not really relevant to me. Your negative energy is most certainly not relevant to me and sent back to you sevenfold. And we continue to move forward. Battle is a part of life. I say it all the time. I specialize in battle. Well-documented specialization in battle. Difficult block situations of every type you can imagine. And just for a moment, just for my haters that are listening, just imagine all the negative, ugly, evil things that you think about me, that you say about me, that you propagate about me, that you spend your waking hours thinking about me, and I continue to rise. Thank you, Maya Angelou. I continue to rise, and you only fuel my progression. Don't you see? That adversarial activity and energy only fuels the righteous, only pushes forward. In my years here on the internet and in these 380-something social networking sites, 380, not just Facebook, you can battle me, you can battle my photos, you can battle my posts in Facebook, but I'm everywhere, everywhere. And while you attempt to play the mole game and try and cover every base, which is impossible because you're working against spirit. You're not working against me, Ty Mecca, the divine prince. You're working against spirit. I am only that which spirit allows me to be, to manifest, and to do. And I'm clear on that, focus on that in a way that's maybe uncanny in today's world, in today's society. But my platform, my foundation, my path is firm, is secure in spirit. So come what may, come what battle, come what individual, come what charge, come what perpetration, divine will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. I will be for it all as a blessing. Ashe. Divine, all blessed, and thank you for being present here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time with the Divine Prince and Baba Ifa Sakin. Divine peace and blessing, Baba. Are you with me?
Yes, Brother Ty, I'm here. How are you?
All is indeed a blessing. I greet you today in divine peace and love. And as always, I'm very appreciative of the time and energy and commitment that you have made to be present here and share with us on Wednesday.
And as always, I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to be here. And it is a blessing to be able to share a little knowledge I have with you and with your audience. For that, I give thanks, Sheikh. I want to, of course, acknowledge our ancestors, acknowledge Olodumare, without whom nothing would exist. Give thanks to Oromila, thanks to Eshu, thanks to all Orisha, all Orumile, who help us along the way in this path of life. Ashe.
Ashe.
During our last show, not the last one last week, because I was not on that one, I wasn't able to attend. I had other business to tend to. But the show the week before that, one of the things that we had touched on and I got some feedback about was the concept of prayer. And one of our listeners had sent me a message, and it was concerning the idea of there not being any real silent prayer, and that prayer must be spoken. This particular person said that, you know, sometimes she uses spoken prayer, other times she's used silent prayer, and it has been effective. My answer to that was that, you know, there are exceptions to every rule, but we should really make effort to use our voice, exercise ofwashe, which is the power of spoken word, in our prayer. Now that doesn't mean that in silent prayer you'll never be heard, because there are some cases where you can't pray other than silently. I mean, for instance, let's take a person who is mute, does not have the ability to speak. I'm sure that our Creator and our guardian Orishas are not going to ignore the prayer of somebody who is unable to speak. Also, situations where, unfortunately, because of the society that we're in, if you just stop and pray openly, you can really be ridiculed and suffer because of it, which is very sad, but that's the whole society we live in. So in that, in some public situations, you may have to pray silently. That's just, I wanted to just point that out. And that you know, every rule has exceptions, and we need to keep that in mind always. That doesn't mean you should make the exception your own rule. Some people might decide, okay, well, I don't feel like speaking my prayers, I'm always going to pray silently. Although they do have the ability to pray, ability to speak. Like I said, we need to exercise that ofwashe, the power of spoken word as often as we can, especially in prayer.
I say.
Now, I know that a lot of people wonder about prayers for certain occasions and certain things that we need in life. And the prayers that we use in Ifa really come straight out of Odu Ifa verses. And some of the prayers are actually an entire Odu Ifa verse. There are a number of prayers for different occasions. And for those who have Ayo Salami's book, The Worship, from his Yoruba Theology and Tradition volumes, at the back of that book, there are some prayers for several different occasions and different needs. And people often ask me, well, what's a good prayer that I can say in the morning? First thing I would start off with is prayer to Ori, because Ori is our direct connection to Olodumare, as it's the essence of Olodumare within us, and it's the only part of us here in this earthly life that really knows what our true destiny is. Now, we may not know that consciously, but subconsciously, that is there in our Ori. So we must acknowledge Ori, and sometimes people misunderstand what Ori is. Because I know in Lukumi practice there is this concept of having an Orisha over your head or ruling your head, and sometimes they're having another Orisha ruling your feet, which can get kind of confusing. But any guiding or guardian Orisha, although that Orisha may have influence in your life and try to guide you a certain way, even if you say that Orisha is over your head, that's different from what your head actually is. Ori is your head, which is a separate spiritual entity from any Orisha who may be guiding you.
Right.
And people seem to have a lot of trouble understanding that. I have lost count how many times I've had to explain that to people who don't understand it. And I'm not faulting those people for not understanding. It's really because of the way they were taught. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's enough teaching here in the Western world about Ori. I mean, Ori is something that's very basic. Before you can really go anywhere in Ifa, before you can advance, before you can properly learn, you need to understand Ori.
Mm-hmm.
And that Ori is a separate entity from any other Orisha, separate entity from any Orisha who may be said to be guiding you or ruling your head or whatever terminology they use. And so morning prayers, like I said, I always tell people to start with Ori and Olodumare. Olodumare being the supreme high God, the creator of all, the one that encompasses all. We must give thanks to Olodumare for everything that exists and our own existence. We can, after honoring Ori and Olodumare, Then we go to Orumila, who is the prophet of Ifa, the divine messenger. Well, let me clarify that I did divine messenger because there also is Eshu, who one of his specific roles is divine messenger. But when I say divine messenger regarding Orumila, it is that he brought message of Ifa to people on earth. So I just don't want to confuse anybody with that. When I then call Eshu the divine messenger, this is, his role is different. And we give thanks to Orumila, and we give thanks to Eshu, again, divine messenger, but his role as divine messenger is to bring our prayers to heaven and bring the messages from heaven back to us. And his role is also to bring our offerings to heaven and in turn allow our blessings to come back to us. And so that's where Eshu sits as the divine messenger. Then we give thanks to our ancestors, Ngungu, and we give thanks to our elders, and we give thanks to all of the Orisha and all of the Orumile. And we also give thanks to our comrades in heaven. And you can use your own words in giving thanks, although there are some specific prayers in Ifa for us to do this. But you can use your own words. The most important thing about prayer is that you must feel it, and it has to come from your heart. And that's why I tell people, when you receive a prayer in, that's in Yoruba, or maybe it's been translated from Yoruba, if you read the prayer, you recite it, and you're not really feeling it, don't use it. Because you have to connect with the prayer. What you're saying has to mean something to you. If it doesn't mean anything to you, then you're just rambling and there's no ashe in what you're saying. So it's very important to connect with the words that you're saying. And if you can't connect with a prayer that you're given, feel free to use your own words. Some people teach that you really have to pray in Yoruba language in order to be heard. And to that I say that if Olodumare, who encompasses all, is so limited that we can only speak one language to be heard and understood, then we're praying the wrong God. Plain and simple. There's no entity that encompasses all could be so limited.
Yeah.
There may be some people in our audience who would argue me down on that. I don't know. But I stick to my guns on that one. Olodumare is not so limited, and neither are the Orisha. Not so limited that we must speak Yoruba in order to be heard. What you must speak is from your heart, from your soul. You must speak what you feel. That's what you need to do in order to be heard. As far as Yoruba language goes, to gain a better understanding of Odu Ifa and the prayers, you need some understanding of the language. And, I mean, that's just plain and simple. Even if you are not fluent in the language, if you just get a Yoruba English dictionary and look up words that you don't understand, it will give you a better understanding of the Odu Ifa and the prayers that you're using. These are things that I don't think people get into enough. People want to learn Yoruba, I think, sometimes for the wrong reason. One reason is secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
People want to learn Yoruba so they can pray in Yoruba and do their work in Yoruba language and keep it secret from outsiders.
Isn't there a sense of wanting to or feeling a need to be a part of a secret society? I mean, wouldn't you say that that's a prevalent sort of fantasy that a lot of people have nowadays?
A lot of people have it. They want to belong to something special, something elite, something exclusive. But we already belong to something elite. We belong to the human race that Olo Demare commanded to be in existence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much greater can you get?
Yes, I say.
We belong to the human race, which was created by the command of God. We breathe the breath of life that Olo Demare put into us. And we have a level of intelligence and a free will that is, as far as we know, not exercised by any other life form on this planet. Again, how elite do we need to be? And we are members of an elite group. And we are all children of Olo Demare. So we have something special already. We are already part of something great, something elite, something exclusive.
I say.
And we need to recognize that. Now, as far as the language, people a lot of times want to learn Yoruba language for the wrong reasons, and yes, it's to be exclusive, to be secret. But if we consider how things are in Yoruba land, in Nigeria, Benin, Togo, the Yoruba-speaking areas, if everybody's speaking Yoruba in those areas, when you do your prayers and rituals, in Ifa and Orisha worship, and you're speaking Yoruba, everybody understands you, whether they're into it or not. So there's no secrecy there. And Ifa isn't meant to be secret. If you have something that has the potential of making human life better, tell me one good reason why that should be a secret. Right. There are reasons, but they're not good reasons. Right. People keep things like that secret if they want to stay over others. They want to have something that other people don't have. They want to try and be better than other people, or
mm-hmm.
keep other people down.
Mm-hmm.
Ifa is not meant to be a secret. And that is something that has come out specifically for me through Ifa divination. It's come out a few times. And this was interpreted by Maya Oluo, where he said, Ifa is not meant to be secret. You should be openly proclaiming Ifa. When that was first said to me, I was kind of shocked and confused because, you know, what I saw around me was not so open, you see people walking up and down the street every day proclaiming their Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you look around on Facebook, I mean, how many times do you see somebody post something like, I love Jesus and I'm not afraid to say it. And if you're not afraid, post this on your wall too, or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, your religion is, you know, your personal relationship with your Creator. We don't need to boast about it, but we should be able to speak freely about it. We should be able to freely display it. So after that came out for me, I started wearing my electors openly. When people would ask me about the beads that I'm wearing, at first I felt kind of shy, kind of intimidated about, you know, saying what the beads were really for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would tell them, you know, oh, well, I got them from Africa, they're good luck. But it's more than that. And I receive my beads and my elekes in the process of Ifa initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then I explain to people now, well, you know the way a Christian priest wears a white collar? Yes. I said, well, I'm a priest of Ifa, and I wear these beads. And, you know, then it opens up a whole new world for people. And it's as popular as Ifa has become, it's surprising, you know, how many people you come across have never heard of Ifa. And the reason why they never heard of Ifa is because so much of it is kept secret.
Baba, it is surprising and shocking to me how many people claim Ifa and don't understand the traditions, don't understand the symbols, don't understand many of the practices.
Well, one problem that I have found is that since much of the spread of Ifa throughout the United States comes from the Cuban practice of Lukumi, there are Lukumi, how should I say it? There are Lukumi ways of doing things that are, you know, perpetuated throughout the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, one of them that I have found too common is the, I guess I would put it, limitations put on women.
Mm-hmm.
And those limitations include really not teaching them a whole lot. And also not giving them everything that a man gets when it comes to Ifa initiation.
Yeah.
I guess for one thing, I know it's a common practice in Lukumi that when a woman receives a hand of Ifa, she receives only one ikin. That's one of the sacred palm nuts. But you really can't do anything with one ikin. Right, so that is something very limiting on women. Because you're supposed to be able to bring your hand of Ifa to a babalawo so that he can divine with your ikin. Right, that's the highest form of Ifa divination. It is divination with the ikin. You need at least 16, or really at least 17 ikin for hand of Ifa. Because there should be 16 that the babalawo actually divines with it being in the palm of his hand. And there should be one that is placed at the head of the Opan Ifa, the Ifa divination tray. So when a woman receives 118, she doesn't have her proper connection with Ifa so that divination can be done. Now, some argue that, well, the Babalao uses his own ikin or has a separate set of ikin that he uses for clients, but really that's not the proper way. A person is supposed to be able to bring their own hand of Ifa to a Babalao for divination. And a woman is very limited if she only has one ikin. And then on top of that, there is the teaching of Ifa as a limitation as to what a woman can do. Women that I've seen coming from Lukumi tradition are really not taught much at all. They're taught to accept what the Bible tells them and really not even really try to learn Odu Ifa. And as far as women coming into priesthood, Ifa priesthood, in Lukumi, that's generally not done. However, in traditionally Ifa from West Africa, women do divine. They do become priests. They are called Iyan Ifa. They become priests of Ifa, and they can divine. There is some argument as to what tools they can use to divine. Some people say that an Iyan Ifa can only divine with cowrie shells, which I found in Yoruba land is false.
And I've also heard that men don't use cowries at all, and I've also found that to be false, particularly in,
exactly,
in southern Nigeria.
Exactly. Now, a Babalao, if one is divining as a Babalao, generally they will use either Okele, which is the divining chain, or Ikin, which is the sacred palm nuts of Ifa. However, if that Babalao is also a priest of any Orisha, he may very well use 16 calories for divination as well. But if one is only a Babalao and not a priest of some other Orisha, he's generally only going to use Ikin and Opele. Now, he will also use Obi. He can use four-lobe cola.
Right.
And in some areas where instead of the cola, we use four calorie shells. And that is a very simple divination, usually just to get yes or no answers.
Obiabata.
Right.
Now let me ask you this, because you just opened up another question that I find interesting. Babalaos, you just established a very clear distinction, but I'm finding that here in the States that there's some Babalaos that are fulfilling the role of Orisha priests. Or people not even understanding that there is a distinction there. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit more? Particularly when it comes to initiations and ceremonies.
There are Babalaos who are initiated to other Orisha. So one can be a priest of Ifa and also be a priest of Shango or Oshun, for example.
Right.
And they have the ashe to do the work of any Orisha that they have. Now, also, Baba Lao has the authority to invoke any Orisha. So it's not entirely wrong for a Baba Lao to do the work of the work pertaining to Shango or any other Orisha, because the Baba Lao can invoke any Orisha. That's the authority that a Baba Lao has. However, one who is a Baba Lao spends much of his time focused on Ifa.
Right.
And generally does not have the time to learn as much of the other Orisha as a priest who is dedicated to that Orisha. So you do have people who are initiated to a specific Orisha, and they are priests of that Orisha, and that is what they study, that is what they do, and that is where their ashe primarily lies. Here in the States, you have a lot of things going on where you may go to one Baba Lao, and that Baba Lao takes care of everything for you. If there's some Shango work that needs to be done, if there's Ogun work that needs to be done, Yemoja, Oshun, whatever the Orisha may be, the Baba Lao will take care of all of it. And that's not the way I've seen things done in Nigeria. So you go to the Baba Lao, and the Baba Lao does your divination and find out what needs to be done. If there is some major focus on another Orisha that comes out through the divination, the Baba Lao will generally involve a priest of that Orisha for whom the work needs to be done. Because when I visited there, I had some Shango work that needed to be done. I was taken to a Shango priest. When there was a Ogun work that needed to be done, the Ogun priest was called. Now, that particular Ogun priest was also a Baba Lao, right? But in that town, he was the chief Ogun priest. All this stuff, everybody turns to him generally. The various roles of the different priests are very important, and it in calling on other priests, that's how we help build the strength of the community. And nobody tries to do it all themselves, they call on other people. And you utilize the talents and the ashe of these other priests, and you build a rapport with them that way. You strengthen the community because everybody knows who to call on for specific things. And it's a whole matter of sharing the wealth. And because, you know, let's be honest, people pay for spiritual work to be done. There are certain costs involved, which is even specified in Ogun Ifa. If a Baba Lao is taking it upon himself to always do all the work by himself, then he's keeping all the money to himself, too. Ideally, we should be sharing with our community.
And it
not only benefits the community, but it benefits the client as well. Because the client becomes actually part of the community, and the client benefits from the ashe of all these different priests, and benefits from their knowledge as well. Because as I said before, a Baba Lao who, you know, is primarily practicing Baba Lao, but may also be a priest of, you know, one or more other Orisha, doesn't have the time to devote to studying the other Orisha if he's primarily a full-time Baba Lao. So there's going to be some knowledge of those Orisha and rituals connected with them that he does not know. So when you call on the dedicated priests of those certain Orisha, you have their knowledge, you have their ashe, and you have their part in the community, their part in the ceremony, which all goes to benefit the client, and it benefits the community at the same time.
I see.
And I would really like to see a lot more of community in practice that way here in the U.S. I know there are some small areas you can go to and see that, but we need to do that on a much broader base. We just got to put egos aside. We got to put greed definitely has to be put aside. There's no place for greed in proper Ifa work. We're trying to hold on to it all up. Yeah.
No, I was just going to agree with you. There's definitely too much ego involved in a weird sense of competition that's not
right.
Healthy or beneficial to the survival of any of the traditions, as well as to the appearance of these paths being taken seriously, particularly in public forums like the internet, when you have those outside of the tradition observing and
right.
taking note of our behaviors and how we interact and how we do certain things. I don't
right.
know if you've been paying attention, but you know, you've been with me since Yahoo 360, since before
right.
Hurricane Katrina. So you're used to seeing me post pictures, post text, post history, post information. Well, that
right.
has come under attack in the last week on Facebook. People are claiming rights to pictures and information and photographs and whose pictures look more authentic than the others and who's more real than the others. And it's clearly motivated by things outside of spirit, ego, politics, finances, you know, all those things that don't necessarily benefit spirit. So how do we fight that? How do we combat that, if at all, and continue to move forward and maintain a cohesive community?
Well, it's basically one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through our own behavior and how we approach other people. We have to be more open in the way we approach people. Make sure that we express the willingness to share and the willingness to help one another. Now, what we express and what we share is not always going to be returned kindly. A lot of times we're going to encounter people who would just choose to take advantage of us. And we have to just be wary of that and try to move ourselves away from the people who want to take advantage of us in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But even when we do that, we can't shut down. We can't fold ourselves off. We can't just decide, oh, well, I'm not dealing with other people anymore because it's too much dishonesty, too much ego, too much manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be relentless in our willingness to share and be a community.
keep coming back. Absolutely.
We can't fall off the horse and say, I'm not going to ride anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get right back on that horse, and this is the horse of community, the horse of sharing, the horse of doing good for the benefit of all. That's a horse we can't just refuse to ride and expect to make progress. We have got to ride that horse all the way to heaven. We got to, like I said, always relentlessly be willing to share. And, you know, it's all love of who we are. And I don't mean love of the individual. I mean, you know, just, you know, loving yourself, but loving mm-hmm. who we are as people. As I said, as I said earlier, you know, we are already members of an elite group. We are already members of something very special. Something very special, which God, our Creator, all of the Mari, whatever you want to call it, has sanctioned to exist and has put his breath of life into. You know, we are all something very special. And we are all very connected, whether we want to recognize it or not. But if we are willing to recognize how we are connected, we're more apt to work together. And you know, that is extremely important. Nobody can stand alone and you know, be an island, let alone a world unto himself.
Ashe, Baba, Ashe. I said that just before you came on the air today. Being here is an extension of those people who support the work that's being done, that have that commitment, as you just said, to not me, but to the traditions and the livelihood of the traditions.
Exactly. And, you know, the tradition is something that is so powerful, has so much great potential. And the only way we're going to fully realize that potential is by working together. There was something that I had posted on Facebook several months back.
Well, we can take a break if you need to locate it.
Oh, well, it was basically just that I said, depending on others is not a weakness. Rather, mm-hmm. it is where we find our greatest strength.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really take to heart, because we can't make it on our own. Human beings were not designed to make it on their own. Human beings were designed to depend on each other. And, you know, the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. Now with that, we'll take a short break. We'll come back, and I think we can get back into prayers for different occasions.
Ashe, Ashe. We will be forward momentarily, remembering that all is indeed a blessing. We appreciate those of you who are listening in at this time. Our listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. Please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad with your questions, comments, concerns, and we will be more than happy to assist you. We will be for all is a blessing. Bobo and Ashe. Again, we are most certainly thankful, grateful, humbled, and appreciative for each and every one, your divine, all blessed, sacred presence here at High Noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch Hoodoo, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince Taya Mecca. Here on Wednesday, March 7th, Ifa Wednesdays, with Baba Ifa Sakin. But I would also like to take this moment to continue to invite you and re-invite you to be a part of our Congo Square Preservation Society in membership as well as in participation. We meet every week on Sunday, approximately 2 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time here in this beautiful, historic, and legendary city of New Orleans, Louisiana, right across the street from the French Quarter on Rampart Street. And we invite you to be a part of our community, to be a part of our spiritual healing gathering, and to take advantage of the resources available within this community. As Baba Ifa Sakin suggested, there are very few small communities, and this is one of those where you can find traditional practices being worked, being participated in actively each and every day. Lukomi, Ifa, Voodoo, Palo, all here in this beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Congo Square is one of the places that we collectively unify and come together and share that energy and that experience. I do invite you to continue to visit our Facebook page
at facebook.com/Congo Square Preservation Society. And to also visit me on facebook.com/The Divine Prince for more information about membership into the Congo Square Preservation Society, as well as the many other active spiritual communities that we have going here in the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Not just mine, House of the Divine Prince, Hoodoo Central, Thai Potions, but also those of many others. And I get a great joy being a resource, being able to introduce people to books, individuals, organizations, communities that they otherwise may not have had privy to previously. So I appreciate your continued support, your continued comments, your continued communications. And yes, I invite you to join us on Sundays at 2 p.m. for our ancestral ritual, spiritual drumming, dancing, grassroots community gathering with Baba Luther Gray, Mama Jamila, Mama Minhati, Dula the Sula, and many, many more. And I appreciate you. Please know this. I'm going to take just a brief break, again, about 2 minutes, and then we're going to come back with more from Baba Ifa Sakin. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Ochosi, Ochosi o te mata, o te mata su duro mata, oni bebe, o de lo cua, o de trupo. Ochosi o te mata que está su hijo, hecho banigüe ahí es dumo cordum, rindiéndole moforibale, un ávila sotite. Pa' que usted con su arco y su flecha nos libre de cubano araye. Ti ya, vos vos sos burló, eleno pum pum, ahí nada todas las cosas malas. Que nosotros nos podamos librar en el plano de esta tierra.
Ocho sí, Odele,
háganos de salud, tranquilidad, paz, desenvolvimiento. Y un bobotén, un yempo, un ávila sotite.
Ocho sí, Odele,
pa' un bobo iré. Un bobo a chegún o ta, un bobo wo, a che ochosi.
Ochosi, o dede, adele.
Padre mío celestial, para que nunca su hijo, de usted hecho banigüe, ni por desgracia tenga que vivir en su ley. Líbreme de todas las cosas malas.
Ochosi, o dede.
Are you with me?
I'm here with you.
Give thanks. You can go forward.
Okay. When we opened up, I was talking about various prayers that we can use at different times. And there's really there's one beautiful morning prayer which I found. And again, this is in Chief Ayo Salami's book, The Worship, which is part three of his Yoruba Theology and Tradition trilogy. And this prayer says, The room that I said it is early in the morning. The day brightens around the earth. When I got to the house of Alaramoko, in the house of Isan, they prayed that his day would brighten for me. If it is true that his life would brighten, it is time for my own life to brighten in this world so that we can obtain all the good fortunes that we desire. The room that I said it is early in the morning. The day brightens around the earth. The day is truly bright. When I got to the house of Ajero, the child of Onyikorowo, me, is it not true that his life brightens? Like the day of Ajero brightens, let the day of Wili Akapto, your followers, also brighten. All the good things that we desire, let them be our portion by all means possible. But when I said it is early in the morning, the day brightens around the earth. When I got to the house of Owarangun Aga Mataide, the child of Oniguro Abu Owo Lafaje, is it not real that his life brightens? Ifa, it is time for my own day to brighten in this world. Arumana said it is early in the morning. The day brightens around the earth. When I got to the house of Oni, Talakan Yeshu, the child of Arayin Okun Meji Bariade, is it not true that his day also brightens? Ifa, it is time for our day to brighten on earth. So has the day brightened for us or not? The day truly has brightened for us. Come and see the brightness on the horizon. The day truly has brightened well for us. The MRAT always witnesses a brightened day. Come and see the brightness on the horizon. The day has brightened for good. The day brightens for us every day so that we can make wealth, so that we can have wives, so that we can have children, and so we can grow old and steadfast into a ripe old age. The MRAT always witnesses a brightened day. Come and see the brightness on the horizon. The day has brightened for good. Let us not get entangled in criminal suits. Let us not suffer sadness. Let us not taste death prematurely. Let us not fall into danger. The MRAT always witnesses a brightened day. Come and see the brightness on the horizon. Today has brightened for good. Ashe. 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 I really like the feeling of that particular prayer. It's a prayer of really looking forward into the day, really looking for blessings in the day. Looking for our lives to brighten, and it's not only looking at the one day that we're about to get into when you say this prayer in the morning, but it's about looking into all the tomorrows for all the great blessings that lie ahead, and looking forward with enthusiasm. That is one prayer I really connect with. And it's a prayer that whenever I use it, I feel very good about it. And I must give thanks to to Baba Ayo Salami for having the wisdom to include these kinds of prayers in his book, where it's prayers that, for the most part, that I've seen, are not difficult to connect to or connect with. These are things that if you take the time to read them, you'll understand what's being said and you can connect with it. You can feel it. It expresses things that most of us feel every day. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you want your day to be good, you want your life to be brighter, you want good fortune in your day. I don't think that's very difficult to connect with at all. Because I don't know anybody that wakes up and says, oh, well, let me have some trouble today. That's usually not the case.
But I think some of us get sort of locked into a pattern of doing so by default. I think it's important, just as you were explaining with voicing prayer, that we affirm and reconfirm with consciousness, if at all possible, our connection not only to spirit but to life and to doing that which is in our own best interest. I think it becomes very easy to sort of, get locked into a pattern, if you will, of self-destructive thinking that then leads to self-destructive behavior. And that's one of the things that I like about Ifa and Voodoo is the ability to connect action with affirmation, with prayer, with ritual, with symbol, and they all sort of reinforce each other, if you will. I think giving the consciousness that many more avenues to crystallize that path and that understanding.
Benny, Ashe. There's also a prayer, actually a few prayers, but one simple prayer that I specifically like that Salami included in his book. And this is a night prayer, which comes from the Odu Ifa of Ogbe Rete, which is also known as Ogbe Ate. Ifa is telling us, the night has fallen. The night has fallen, and the day lies on its side. Let the swarm of small birds care for how they eat. Let the swarm of small birds care for how they drink. Let all observers of rites be watchful of time. Let small birds be on the lookout for assailants. Oriri Sewele, the Babala of the home of Onigede, cast divination for Onigede early in life. On the day that he complained of not having good fortune in his life, he was asked to make Ebo. They said by the dusk, all good fortunes would get to him. Wealth came and entered into the house of Onigede today. Oriri Sewele, you are the Awo of the home of Onigede. Wives, enter the house of Onigede today. Oriri Sewele, you are the Awo in the home of Onigede. Children, enter the house of Onigede today. Oriri Sewele, you are the priest in the home of Onigede. All good fortunes now enter into the home of Onigede. Oriri Sewele, you are the priest in the home of Onigede, Ashe. And in that prayer, which again comes from Ogbe Ate, we see basically that the night is falling and that Ebo is advised to be done. And that in the evening, when night falls, we receive all the blessings. Or in this case, Onigede receives blessings. When we use this prayer, we are really asking for blessings ourselves. We close our day, we enter into the evening, and we ask that all blessings be brought to us. And again, it's a very simple prayer and really beautiful if you take the time to look at it. That's another thing, the poetry of Ifa. It's really rather beautiful just looking at it as poetry, but this is more than poetry. This is actual prayer. And we, it's something that we have to connect with so that it can be effective. And these two prayers, which I mentioned, the one for the morning and this is one for the night, are fairly simple to connect with, because it's basically asking for things that most of us want every day.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, you know, we can sometimes get into a mode or daily ritual of really not embracing goodness and blessings, and rather doing things that are negative, doing things that are against what's best for us, and in some cases just accepting misfortune, accepting misery as a way of life, and that's not the way life is meant to be. Olodumare did not create humans for the purpose of being targets of suffering. And we have various spiritual paths, various ways in which we approach our Creator and approach the spirits and that He put in place to help us, so that we can have a good life on this earth, so we can enjoy things. Now, everything can't be roses all the time, and if you think about it, it's quite logical, because, you know, how do we appreciate the light if we never see darkness? How do we understand happiness if we've never been sad? These are, you know, some common sense things that we really have to take into consideration. For every suffering, there is joy. Which, I mean, this may seem kind of corny, but there's a song by Frankie Beverly and Mays called "Joy in Pain," I mean, that song is just so true. Joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. You can't have really one without the other. You can't understand one without the other. And also, as people who do spiritual work for other people, we have to suffer certain things in our lives so that we understand what other people go through. If I never experienced poverty, I wouldn't know what poor people go through, what struggles they have. If I never experienced wealth, I would never understand what troubles wealthy people have. If I never experienced any deep emotional pain, I wouldn't understand the deep emotional pain that other people go through. And if I never experienced great joy, I would never understand why people want it. And we've got to really know both sides of the coin, especially as servants of our Creator and servants of other people. I'm battling a bit of a cold here, which I'm kind of at the tail end of. But I'm going to just take a short break and wet my throat, get myself clear so I can talk some more.
Okay, all is a blessing, Bob. I have you. We most certainly do appreciate those who are listening from the various portals that are available to enjoy the show. We also invite you and re-invite you to listen in and call us at area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Do press the number one on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to assist you in answering any questions, comments, or concerns that you may have about today's topic or any other show topic about Ifa as well as Voodoo, Hoodoo, Obeah. So we, again, give thanks for the listening audience, your continued patience, your continued support, and we will be forward in roughly 6 minutes. All is a blessing.
Papa loco muembra wiagoe, papa loco muembra. Brena si babe mole si bueno bata la wama. Si ni bo fe pour nous la bon Dieu va aider nous.
Papa loco muembra.
Thank you.
give thanks. We appreciate those of you who are listening with us. And we invite you, as always, to call in with your questions, comments, or requests at area code 347-215-8967. As always, I am also taking written questions within the social networking sites, within the chat boxes. Baba Ipa Sakin is as well, particularly in Facebook. So we invite you to call in and to participate. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, Baba.
Sure. All right. We left off talking about prayer and different prayers for different occasions. There are a couple of prayers also for forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is something that I don't hear a lot of people talking about in Ifa. Maybe people think that they do Ebo and then there's no need for anything else. I'm not sure why there's not a whole lot of focus on forgiveness. And in Christianity and Islam, we hear a lot about forgiveness, but I haven't heard so much about it any far. In Osei Rete, which happens to be my own Odu Ifa from my Ifa initiation, there is one really strong prayer for forgiveness. And in this prayer, we're reminded that we need forgiveness not only for the wrongs that we know we do, but for the inadvertent offenses where we may offend somebody without realizing it. We need to ask forgiveness for that. Because surely we don't mean to hurt somebody when it's done inadvertently, but people can get hurt by our actions, by our words. And this prayer asks specifically for forgiveness regardless of whether we've consciously, deliberately hurt someone. And here we are appealing to the Orisha, we are appealing to Orumala for forgiveness. And again, this comes from Osei Irete, also known as Osei Bidere. Orumala says it is about people who have committed offense. Ifa, I too say it is about time to make amends. Ifa says if the devotee of Ogun offends Ogun, or even if he does not offend Ogun, he would be rubbing his palms together in supplication. To placate Ogun, Ogun would be appeased. Ogun would accept. Arumala said it's about people who have committed offense. I also say it is about time to make amends. Ifa says if a devotee of Osa offends Osa, or even if he did not offend Osa, he would be rubbing his palms against each other. He would placate Osa, and Osa would be appeased. Osa would accept. Rumla said it is about people who have committed offense. I say it is about time to make amends. Ifa says if the devotee of Egungun offends Ogungun, or even if he does not offend Ogungun, he'd be rubbing his palms against each other in supplication. He would placate Ogun, Egungun would be appeased. Egungun would accept. Orumala said it's about people who've committed offense. I say it's time to make amends. Ifa says if the Babalao offends Orumala, or even if he did not offend Orumala, he should be rubbing his hands together in supplication and offer prayers to him, and he would accept his pleas. He would be appeased. You are the one who raised the issue of our offenses. That is why we have come to appease you, Ifa, Kikina, Lazarum. Elah, do not refuse our plea. When there is heat, there is a fan that would appease it. Abure is here, the priest of Olujebe. If we see a good priest, we would accept his plea, Ashe. And we notice in here, in this prayer, it says that if one offends Ogun, or even if he does not offend Ogun, he'll be rubbing his palms against each other in supplication. And if one offends Osa, or if he does not offend Osa, he'll be rubbing his palms together in supplication. And if one offends Egungun, or does not offend Egungun, he'll be rubbing his palms together in supplication. And again, the same, if one offends Orumila or does not offend Orumila. Why would you ask forgiveness if you haven't offended anybody? Well, again, as I said, we can offend others by accident. It can be totally unintentional that you offend somebody. But we should care enough about others that we would ask to be forgiven for offenses inadvertently made. Here it specifically mentions Ogun Osa, who is Obatala, and Egungun and Orumala. But it goes beyond that, because it's not just offense against these Orisha, but is offense against the people whom these Orisha guide and protect.
Mm-hmm.
There's, if we offend someone's child, we offend that person as well. Mm-hmm. If we offend the children or devotees of the various Orisha, we offend that Orisha as well. So we've got to ask forgiveness. We've got to seek forgiveness. We have to be humble enough to recognize that we need forgiveness. And again, this is another prayer that is fairly easy to connect with, especially when you take the time to read it and understand it. And we have to mean what we say when we pray. Otherwise, there's no sense in praying. If you're going to engage in senseless repetitions, it's a waste of time. If you can't connect to what you're saying, if what you're saying is not something you feel in your heart, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, and there's no ashe in what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we put ashe into the things we say is to mean them when we say, and to understand them, to feel them and connect with them when we say these words. With that said, I'm wondering if we now have any questions or comments from our audience. I know we definitely have a bunch of people listening, but maybe they're a little shy today. I don't know.
No, as of yet, there are no hands raised, no comments from the chat.
Well, either we are doing our job so perfectly that everything is understood and clear, or people are too shy. Well, I must say People should not be afraid to ask questions or make comments. There's no such thing as a stupid question, except for the question you should have asked but didn't. We definitely do encourage questions. As Prince Ty mentioned earlier, he's available through various social networking chats where he can accept your questions, as well as directly here on Blog Talk Radio. I am also available. I'm actively in Facebook chat right now, as well as Prince Ty is there. So if you're in a situation where maybe you're on the job and can't call in or can't talk much on the phone to voice your questions, you can definitely feel free to type it in and get to us, and we will definitely address your questions and concerns. Matt, I think we've got about 3 minutes left of the show.
Yes.
I just want to say again that I'm grateful to have this opportunity to be invited by you onto this show every Wednesday. I'm sorry I couldn't make it last Wednesday. I had a previous engagement that could not be changed. But you know, as long as I'm available, I'll definitely be here every Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. here for the Power Lunch. That's noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, 1 to 3 Eastern Time, and 11 to 1 Mountain Time, and Pacific is 10 to noon, I think. Did I get that all right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, okay.
Pacific would be the furthest away. It would be 10.
So all right, right, right. Pacific, yes.
Yeah.
Did I say Eastern again? All right. But, another thing I wanted to mention, put up with you. You still hear me?
Go ahead.
Actually, what I wanted to mention was the music, because I did get some feedback in my email from a couple of people who wanted to know where they can get some of the music that you play on the show, because people are really enjoying it. And,
I used to announce all the songs, and then that got to be too much, and then people complained about that. You can't always make everybody happy. All of the music.
Well, so you don't have to play DJ and announce all the songs and everything. I would encourage anybody who's really interested in knowing the what music is being played, perhaps they can email you or send you a message through one of the social networking sites and, just to get some suggestions regarding some of the music that you're playing so that they can then enjoy some of the music for themselves.
All of the music that I play on the show is on the second page of my website. The music that is not available for purchase is not on the second page of my website. Some of the music has been gifted to me by new artists and unsigned artists. Some of the voodoo tracks come directly from our live ceremonies here that have been transcribed into an MP3. Some of those have not been published. But all of the other stuff is available on the second page of my website.
That's excellent. That's excellent. I think that'll help a whole lot of people out because, like I said, the feedback I got, people really enjoying the music in addition to whatever conversation we have and the topics that we're discussing.
We give thanks. We most certainly do appreciate that. And I look forward to having you back again on Wednesday of next week.
As far as I know, my schedule is clear, and the only thing on there that day is your show, The Power Lunch, and I look forward to being here again. Ashe.
Give thanks. Always a blessing, Ashe.
Ashe.
Thank you.